Well, I think we could just pray a benediction, and off we go. What an incredible story from Dawn, and what a testimony to God's faithfulness. Truly an exceptional reality, and what I love about that story is that God continues, and all through the scriptures you see this, it's not that God uses exceptional people. It's that the exceptional God touches normal people. And so in and through that, I'm very thankful for what Dawn had to share this morning. And what a privilege and honor it is to be able to share with you. I want to thank Pastor Mitch for the opportunity. And this is an especially special today because I'm honored by the presence of two people. I'm honored by the presence of my father, Dr. Reverend William Huggins. And I'm also honored by the presence of my son, Sam, out here from BC. And so it's very special as I sit in the middle of the proverbial sandwich this morning, both as father and son. And I was thinking that since I need the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I'm actually in good company this morning. So it's something that I'm really looking forward to. I've been a missionary for 30 years. And I know what you're thinking. How possibly could I have been a missionary for 30 years? I'm so young. I mean, right? I mean, it's crazy. But I've been a missionary for 30 years with Power to Change, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ, and their Ministry of Athletes in Action. And I've been working with youth right up to adults. And I currently work as the chaplain of the Ottawa 67s and the Ottawa Red Blacks. And we are licking our wounds with the Red Blacks from yesterday's loss. But I digress. I wanted to speak to us this morning about the understanding of the phrase, but God. And so that's what I want to do. But before I do, let me thank God for his presence this morning and invite him to have his way with us. Father God, we thank you. Lord, as I was singing the song, How Great Thou Art, I was mindful of who you are. I was mindful of it doesn't matter what it is that we face. It doesn't matter what it is that we're going through. It doesn't matter what our situations or circumstances are. God, you are greater. And the best thing is, Father, is you are for us. And so, Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would speak to us. It would encourage us. It would challenge us. And, Father, I pray this morning that I would step aside from any of me and allow all of you. Lord, I pray that this morning the words that are spoken would be your words and yours alone. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do as I pray in anticipation. And thank you for your presence as we pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever found yourselves in this position. You've got some idea of the direction you need to move in. A healing you might need from God, a job situation you need to change or be delivered, a relationship that needs intervention, or a situation that seems hopeless. And if we're super spiritual, right, we seek God first. But if you're a lot like me, you try and figure out your own way, and then you constantly bump up against reality, and then in exhaustion and in defeat, you seek God. And God doesn't want us to live that way, obviously. And sometimes we can find ourselves in a place of exasperation and frustration, and it seems to be moving us further and further away from our idealized outcome. And we feel like saying, but God, I mean, come on, God, like, you don't know what's going on here. You don't know what's happening. You don't know this situation. You don't know how hard I'm trying. And so we're exasperated. I'm thankful that God doesn't get frustrated with us when we express those realities to him. Instead, he points to his word, and this is my interpretation. He almost says, hey, watch this. Watch this. All right? Because when this is God speaking, not me, and I'm paraphrasing, as I've always thought I hear God say, when I say in my word, but God, you will know that I'm about to do something exceedingly and abundantly more than all you can ask or even imagine. In the book of Matthew, we read these words. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I trust this verse brings you hope and promise this morning, but I wonder, does it bring a preconceived notion of how God is going to move in each and every situation we need him to? Right? Sometimes we get into this space and place where we go, okay, Lord, I need you to move, and I need you to move this way, and I need you to act this way, and I need you to provide this way. And we can sometimes allow our thoughts and ideas and ideal outcomes form our concept and idea of God. But you know, the thing is, God is not orthodox at times. In fact, I would argue that God is never orthodox, the way he works. Sure, there are ways that we can count on God working at times, but there isn't and won't, God won't be contained by our expectations of him. And I'm truly thankful to God for that. Can you imagine if God worked in only the way that I imagined he could? I'm so thankful to God that he doesn't do that. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, we get this indication that God's vision is a little bit different than ours. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. This is a little bit different than what goes on in our world today. And I thought about this, and I've been thinking about this as I've been preparing for this morning. And you know, in my life, I've struggled with pride. Pride, not necessarily an arrogant pride, but just really, really confident pride. You know, in my talents, my abilities, what I brought to the table in each and every moment. And I had a really good idea of what I wanted to see and what I wanted to do. And then when I had my stroke in 2018, everything changed. And two things happened. One, by God's grace, I survived. And two, my pride died. See, it's really hard to be prideful when you can't talk or form a sentence. It's hard to be prideful when the way you used to think, process, dream, communicate, and experience life has changed and is now much more difficult in a lot of situations doesn't happen at all. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. You know, I was thinking about this. It reminds me of the song, and it's really fun. I can remember my mom singing this all the time when we were young growing up. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And I thought about this, and last year during one of the Red Blacks Bible studies, we were sitting there going around the room talking about what we're thankful to God for. And so, you know, all the guys were sharing different realities and different things that they were thankful to God for. And then the guys turned to me and said, Paul, what are you thankful to God for? And I said, well, you know, And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm the Bible study leader. I should probably come up with something super profound. I should, you know, like, you know, I can't just be thankful that I found a good parking spot this morning. That would just seem really pathetic. So I'm like, okay. And before I could even really truly think about what I was saying, out of my mouth came these words. I'm thankful to God for my stroke. And as soon as I said it, you know, I thought, what am I talking about? You know, and I felt like I was sitting beside myself going, do you have any idea how hard it's been? How could you possibly be thankful to God for your stroke? So the guys were like, really, really? Well, that's really interesting. Like, tell me, Paul, what? Like, why is that? And I'm like, yeah, Paul, go ahead. Tell us. Like, what's going on? Because I had no clue. And so my heart was racing, and I had to go, hold on a minute. Why would I say that? And I realized that the truth is in these words, that when I am weak, he is strong. And I have seen since 2018, and am thankful for since 2018, the profound power of God in my life. And there are things that I cannot do that I once was able to, but God. I don't have to do them. See, I struggled for a long time. Lord, how possibly can your kingdom purposes be better pursued and better come to fruition when I am less than who I was? I mean, like, how can that happen? And God, in his loving kindness, put his arm around me and said, Paul, when you are weak, I am strong. And so I realized that it's not about me, and it never has been about me. I know. I should probably realize this a long time ago, but sometimes I can be a little thick. It's not about me. It's about God. And God using whatever we have to offer. You know, in the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the young child only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But God was able to feed 5,000. And so I was so thankful for that revelation. You know, and I thought about how often I had prayed to God for healing, had prayed to God for his will to be done. But, you know, I was still kind of, Lord, I want your will to be done, but I really, really, really want it done this way. See, God answers prayer one of three ways, right? Yes, no, or wait. You know, the yes, we're like, yes. The no, we're like, oh. The wait can be excruciating. And yet, I think about this all of the time. How often in the wait, it reveals our character. How often in the wait, it really reveals where our faith and trust is. How often in the wait, the unknown, the hope for, the longing, the reality of which we desire an outcome, but our faith and trust, where is it placed? Is it placed in God, or is it placed in our own abilities? Is it placed in our sense of, I've got to make this happen, I've got to do this? And I think about this, how often we think about how impatient we get, and yet God is orchestrating, literally orchestrating. You think about a conductor, all right, about waving his hands and saying, the trumpets are coming in here, the violinists are coming in here, the trombonists are coming in here, the percussion is building here. God is orchestrating an answer to our prayers that when it happens, there is only one choice, but for us to realize that it was God and God alone who made it happen. And so there are so many times and situations and circumstances where you're like, oh, and we're just right at the precipice, right at the cusp of going, Father, I give up. I'll just do it myself. And right then and there is when God wants to move. But he needs us to hold on a little bit more. But the fact is, we're not going to hold on more unless we know who he is. Because unless we know that we can trust him, we're not going to put our faith in him. And we're not going to trust him unless we know him. And we're not going to know him unless we spend time reading about him, unless we time praying about him, unless we spend time walking in faith with him. See, so often we hear things, and there's different things that we catch, and we go, oh yeah, that's good. But when the chips are down, and when the rubber meets the road, and whatever metaphor you want to use, when it comes down to it, do I trust you? And God says, my child, I love you. I want to move in a profound and real way. There are moments in my life that because of what God and God alone has done, he will forever have my love and loyalty. Because it has been so profound that only he deserves the glory and praise. And so when we come to a place of recognizing that God is God and we are not, whether by choice or by circumstances, there's actually incredible freedom. But let's be honest. Sometimes we get tired, defeated, or even beat up. Psalm 73, 26 reminds us of these words, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I don't know if you believe that this morning. Do you cling to that hope? There are so many in our world that are lost trying to find a place of hope, a place of security, a place of peace, a place of belonging. And I marvel at how many people in our world are making a living describing themselves as influencers. I don't know if you've ever seen them before. You know, these are people who are telling you how to wash your car better, how to be a better parent, how to be a better spouse, how to work better and harder, how to have a happier family, how to have more money, how to be better, have a better looking home, how to ourselves be more beautiful. And they make a living influencing people. And yet these things just point to the fluff of life. They're superficial. Because at the end of the day, they can't change a human heart. They can't bring peace to a situation. They can't bring healing to a reality. They can't provide in ways that are beyond our ability to comprehend, and they cannot change an eternity. And yet so many in our world are looking to these influencers instead of the influencer. In Ephesians 2, 4 to 10, we read these words, and I could absolutely do an entire sermon on this passage because it is so profound. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I love this interaction between God's grace and mercy. See, God's grace keeps giving us the things that we don't deserve, and God's mercy keeps withholding the things that we actually do. And he pours it out over us. There's no earning. And see, when we're able to see as God sees us through a very specific lens, we realize that we are actually God's workmanship, his perfection, as we are. Well, okay, hold on, Paul. Like... You know, you don't know about this. Uh-huh. I don't. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on over here. You don't know about the struggle over here. You don't know about the situation over here. You don't know how angry I've been. You don't know how bitter I've been. You don't know the resentment I have in my heart. You don't know what I've done the last week. You don't know what I did last night. Paul, you don't know anything. You're right. I don't. God does. And yet he calls you his workmanship. Because he sees us not as how things are, but who he's making us to be. See, God's promises are always yes and amen. And I love that. Why? Because I'm doing a work, and the work will be completed. And so we can have great hope, great reality as we step into it and recognize, you know what, God? I am going to trust you. I am going to put my faith in you, and I am going to see what it is that you desire in my life. And it's always God's lens that we need to not only see the world through, but to see how he sees us. And it's also vitally important that we have a right view of God, because often people turn their back on him or give up on him because things are hard or difficult or not going the way we expected. See, in Matthew 7:24, we read about the story of the wise and foolish builder. You might be familiar with this passage. And in it, Jesus talks about the fact that anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a house built on the rock. The rains come, the storms blow, but the house stands firm. And then he contrasts that to anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains come, the storms of life blow, and the house collapses. Same situation. The storms of life will be a part of it. Will be. Guaranteed. 100%. If there's anything you take from this morning, hey, Paul guaranteed there'll be storms in my life. Yes, there will be. There absolutely will be. But one life stands, the other does not. However, I want us also to notice what the scripture does not say. It doesn't say that once the rain and storms are over, everything will be exactly as it once was. See, it says that the house built on Jesus stands, but it might look a little different. I don't know if you ever had a house in a storm. Shingles get ripped off. Shutters go missing. That rose bush in the front of the house that was your pride and joy. Whing! And yet we expect that when the storms come, we will look exactly the same way as we did before the storms happened. That's not going to be the case at all times. And it's not about us going, okay, well, that's it. I signed up for everything being exactly the same. I'm out. No. We have to go, okay, Lord, hold on a minute. Maybe the house really does look better without those shutters. And maybe I'm truly thankful for the fact that despite the rose bush being gone, that my house stand firm. You know, at Bible study this week, I was talking with one of our players, and we were talking about anger and whether or not it's biblical to be angry. And so we were talking about different concepts and ideas, and then afterwards he said to me, like, so Paul, like, what do you do when you're angry? And I said, well, actually, it's really simple. I said, I feel like I have an unfair advantage. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, anytime I get angry and I start getting in my head about how righteous my anger is, then I go, yeah, but Paul, are you breathing? Amen. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yes, I am. Then what do you have to be angry over? Okay, fine. So often in our lives, we get caught up because we expect. And God says, what you expect is so very small. What I want to do in your life is so much bigger, so much more profound, so much more fulfilling, so much more life-giving, so much more of me in you. I don't want you to settle for a house that looked the way it did. I want you to accept that life will come with challenges, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's where our faith needs to be. Our discomfort in seasons of character building don't mean that we're on the wrong path. It just means that God hasn't completed his work in us yet. And on this Father's Day, as we close, I just want to speak to the men for just a second. First of all, there's nothing wrong with the way you were created. Our world will try and convince you that you are broken, that there are things that you do not do right. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God created you as you are. You were created to be a man in this world, to bring all of your time, all of your talent, and all of your treasure to it. And you have a call in your life that will look different than others, and you have a skill set that will look different than others. And that is a good thing. And every single man here, along with every single woman, is God's workmanship, his perfection. Not at all because of what we do, but because of who Jesus declares us to be. And when we are centered on Christ alone, whatever our skill set, whatever our talent set, whatever our giftings, whatever our struggles, whatever our hopes and dreams, he takes them, leads through them, refines us through them, so that in each and every day, regardless of what the storms of life throw at us, we can know that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But God. Friends, if you feel this morning that you're up against it, but God. If you feel this morning, Lord, I need a healing. I need you to lead. I need you to fix my family. I need you to fix my spouse. I need you to fix different realities, but God. Do not give up hope. Do not give up faith. Do not give up the reality that Jesus wants to intersect and intercede in your life and on your behalf every second of every day. But God. My encouragement to us today is this. The next time we think to ourselves, but God, recognize the real situation. All was lost, helpless, broken, ending in death. But God found us, redeemed us, restored us, fixed us, healed us, led us, and saved us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, I pray for my friends. I pray for myself. Lord, I pray that our faith in you would not be rooted in hope fors, but would be rooted in faith and in truth. Lord, that when we place our faith and trust in you, it's because of the tried and tested reality of your faithfulness in our lives. And Lord, I pray for those who may have a story of your intersecting that needs to be shared. It needs to be shared with one another so that it can encourage and bless those who do not know where the next step will be from. But Lord, they desire and need to know your truth so that they will rest in who you are to be able to take this next step. Father, I pray for those here this morning who may not yet know you. Lord, who may be searching. Father, I pray that your Spirit would right now in this place speak to their hearts, reveal your truth, and let them know that they were created for such a time as this, that they would, not knowing the future, would open up their hearts and lives for you to do a work. And Lord, I pray that that same work that you desire to begin in someone's life here this morning would continue in each one of our lives as we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we thank you, Father, on this Father's Day for who you are and all that you have done, as we pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.